You're listening to a sermon series by Grace City Church, a church plant in Green Square in Sydney. For more information about us, visit gracecity.com.au.
My name's Matt, I'm one of the pastors here. How about I pray and then we'll jump into our passage for today. So Father, we thank you again for the amazing privilege it is to be able to pray to you as the God of the universe. Thank you that we can call you Father and that you hear our prayers. So, Father, today as we finish off this series in the Lord's Prayer, would you again teach us how it is to pray, what it is we are to pray for? We ask this in Jesus' name. Well, amen. Well, like I said, we're finishing off this series, Our Father, in the Lord's Prayer. It's this prayer that Jesus' disciples were taught when they asked Jesus how it is that we should pray. It's a prayer that apparently across the world right now, 1.3 billion people know off by heart. Not sure where you find that, how you figure out that statistic, but it may be that you're one of those people. And often when you have something that you know off by heart or you've heard lots of times before, it's easy just to skim over it and to miss digging into it. What is it actually trying to teach us? What is Jesus actually trying to teach us? So what we're trying to do today as we're digging into this series and digging into this last line of the Lord's Prayer is more than just to know about what Jesus taught. What we want to do as we look at this is know, well, how do we actually pray? What do we actually pray for? We want our prayer lives to become aligned to Jesus and what he says is important that we should be praying for. Now, one of the things that you see just as you look at the Lord's Prayer, even just in the structure of it, is what is important to Jesus. The first half of the prayer is Godward focus. It's all about God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The priority of our prayers should first and foremost be about God and his glory, and only then enter into the second half, which is about our needs. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In fact, as you look through this prayer, every line in it, every phrase in it, is really directed to God. This is how one writer puts it. He says, when we say Father, we acknowledge him as source. When we say hallowed be your name, we acknowledge him as sacred. When we say your kingdom come, we acknowledge him as sovereign. When we say your will be done, we acknowledge him as superior. When we say give us today our daily bread, we acknowledge him as supplier. And when we say forgive us our sins, we acknowledge him as savior. And finally, as we come to this last petition and say lead us not into temptation, we are acknowledging him as shelter. And it's this last line in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is what we're going to be focusing in on today. Now, question for all of us. Have a look at it. It's on the screen. How much time, when you pray, daily, weekly, whenever you pray, how much time do you spend praying for this? Praying that God would not lead you into temptation, that he would deliver you from the evil one. How much time do you reckon you'd spend praying about that? Over the last week or two, as I've been preparing this sermon and I've been reading and doing a bit of research, one of the interesting things I've found is how little has actually been written about this verse in the Lord's Prayer. Now, there's been whole books written about the Lord's Prayer. It's a hugely influential prayer in the Bible, but it's almost like the authors have run out of steam as they've come to this last verse. Now, even our good friend Tim Keller, now you've probably heard of him if you've been at church for more than a couple of weeks. Someone's quoted him probably, but he's got a whole book on prayer, and yet there is only one paragraph in that whole book dedicated to explaining what this verse actually means. And I suspect that that might be consistent with our experience of the Lord's Prayer, with how we pray. For this whole series, I've been using the Lord's Prayer as the basis for my own prayer life. And so I'll say, Our Father in heaven, and then I'll say, God, thank you that you're our Father, that I am your child, that you have adopted me into your family, that you love us. And then I'll say the next line, hallowed be your name. And I'll say, God, I want you to have the glory instead of me because you're God. You're the one who's worthy of praise. And so I'll riff off every line and add my own stuff in there. And as I've been doing this and working through each phrase of the Lord's Prayer, what I've noticed is with every other line, I get in a general sense what it is that it's talking about. I get what Jesus is saying with all the other lines, but as I get to this last verse, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, assuming that I haven't fallen asleep or I haven't been distracted and gone off to do something else, I don't really know what to add to it. Now, when you first read it, it makes sense. Yeah, don't lead us into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. But the more you think about it and the deeper you go into it, the harder it seems to understand. At least that's been my experience. You guys are all smarter than me, so maybe you're all over it. But what I want us to do today is to look at this line and to dig in, and I'm going to ask three questions. Go, well, what does it actually mean? And go, well, after we find out what it means, what does it actually look like to pray this? And then finally, I want to show us, well, why we, each of us, should pray this prayer every day. So what does it mean? What does it actually look like to pray this? And then why should we pray this every day? Let's jump in. What does it actually mean? Now, have a look at it again. What does it mean? If you've been around church for a while, what do you think would be your first objection as you read, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? What objections do you have if you know anything about the Bible? Shout them out.
God does not tempt.
Thank you, Shimon. God does not tempt. Yes. So, glad someone found that. James 1 verse 13. Always worried, you know, someone just says some crazy thing and that'd be fine too, by the way. James 1 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, did Jesus's brother James, when he wrote this, just forget what Jesus had said in the Lord's Prayer and just wrote this? Well, no, that's not what's going on here. God does not tempt anyone. And so, well, what does it mean to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation? And this is where we need to do a bit of work. We need to dig in and have a look at it. So, first thing to say is that the word here that's translated temptation is the Greek word perasmos. Now, it does mean temptation, but it can also mean a test or a trial. The word in itself is morally neutral. It's the context that decides whether it is a positive thing or it is a negative thing. And so a temptation is a negative thing with the connotation of sin or entering into sin, while trial or a test often in the Bible are considered to be a positive thing and with the connotation of holiness. Now, it's really clear in the Bible that God does test his people. It's clear all throughout the teaching of Scripture. Now, go back to the start of the Bible, Abraham. When God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac. Just go back there, Mark. We're not ready for that one yet. It literally starts in Genesis 22, verse 1, and God tested Abraham. It's the same word there. God tested David. God tested Jonah. God tested Job. God tested the Israelites in the wilderness. God tested Jesus, and he will test us. It's the clear and consistent teaching of the Scriptures that God will test us and allow us to go through trials in our lives. But the question is why? Why does God allow us to go through these times of testing, these trials? Well, it's to strengthen and to refine our faith. And so James 1 verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials, perasmos, same word, of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work. Why? Well, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Or again, in 1 Peter 1 verse 6, it says, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of perasmos, trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so God tests us. He tests our faith and allows us to go through these trials. And it's a good thing that he does that. Not the trials themselves. They can often be terrible suffering, but God allows us to go through trials. He tests us to refine us, to strengthen our faith, and to become mature and complete in our Christian walk. And so, first of all, what Jesus is not saying is pray to God and ask him not to do that. He's not saying, Father, even though these trials are good for us and strengthen our faith, please don't do them for me. That's not what he's saying. That wouldn't make sense. But like I said, this word also can be translated as temptation, which it is here in our passage. Now, temptation is about endeavoring or attempting to cause someone to sin. And that's what Satan does. One of the names that he is given is the tempter. Just a couple of chapters earlier in the book of Matthew, the Lord's Prayer comes in Matthew 6, two chapters earlier in chapter 4, after Jesus is baptized, he's led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And in that passage, Satan is called the tempter. And so what are we to make of this verse? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, let me see if I can diagram it out for you. What diagrams help me? I'm a visual learner. Maybe they'll help you as well. In our life, we're going to go through trials, tests. And God allows us to go through these with the purpose to strengthen our faith. But at the same time, the tempter, Satan, the evil one, uses these trials, these tests that we go through, to tempt us with the purpose of weakening our faith and causing us to sin. And so every test and trial that God takes us on in life, Satan is using those as doors to hopefully get us to enter into sin. It's like he's standing there saying, can't believe God would allow that kind of suffering in your life. He mustn't love you. Or he's holding out on you by not giving you that thing. Come over here and I'll give it to you. Or if God really wants you to be happy, he wouldn't let whatever it is. Now, there's a second word in this prayer. It's a word that's translated here, or three words, lead us into. It means to enter into something. It's to go actually inside that thing. And here, it being sin. It doesn't mean just to be tempted. It is possible to be tempted and to not sin. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, and yet he did not sin. And so it is possible to be tempted and not sin, but it's the entering into that temptation which is the sin. Okay, so far we've focused on the first clause, lead us not into temptation. And there's a second clause, but deliver us from the evil one. And it's not saying two different things here. Really, it's saying the same thing, firstly in the negative and then secondly in the positive. They're both saying the same thing. It's really, God, don't leave me in the temptations of the evil one. Rather, deliver me from the temptations of the evil one. And so what does it mean? Well, you're going to go through parasmos in life. You're going to go through tests and trials. From God's vantage point, they're trials to strengthen your faith. But from Satan's vantage point, they're temptations to cause you to enter into sin. And how do you come through these trials without entering into temptation and sin? Well, Jesus says, pray. Ask God to deliver you from that. Okay, so that's what it means. Now, it might be that I understand that, but maybe you're still working through that. Let me jump into this next point, and hopefully as we flesh this out, it'll all come clear. And so secondly, what does it actually look like for you to pray this? What would it look like in your life, in your prayer life, to actually pray this prayer? Well, it'd be something like this. Father, as you are allowing me to go through trials in my life so that my faith may be strengthened, please don't lead me to a place where I might enter into temptation and sin against you. Or to state it positively, deliver me from the temptations of the evil one. And like every other line that we've seen in the Lord's Prayer over the last few weeks, Jesus is saying that we should ask God to do what he's already promised to do for us. That's why we can pray this prayer confidently. Every line in the Lord's Prayer is a promise that God has said he will do. Now think about it. Every line in the Lord's Prayer, God will hallow his name. He will see his kingdom come. His will be done. He will provide your daily needs. He will forgive your sin. And he also will not lead you into temptation, but deliver you from the evil one. And so Jesus is saying, pray and ask God to do what he promises to already do, what he's committed to doing for you. And that is to protect you, to deliver you from the temptations of the evil one. You can pray and ask God, when you test me, don't let me ever get to a place that's too much for me. Don't let me get to a place where I could go through the door and enter into the temptation. Deliver me from that. It's praying to God and saying, I know you have tests for me. You'd use them to strengthen my faith, and they're good gifts from your sovereign hand. But I'm weak, and these trials that you will take me through could cause me to be tempted and to turn away from you. I don't want to do this. I want to please you. And so, Lord, I'm asking that these tests stay as tests to strengthen me and not become temptations to cause me to walk away from you. Don't lead me into an experience that will become a temptation that I can't handle. You know what I can handle, so take me there, but no further. And when the tempter comes, deliver me from his temptation. That's what I think it means to pray this last line of the Lord's Prayer. And so, if that's the case, why should you pray this prayer every day? Well, let me try and convince all of us, including myself, why I think you should pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one every day. First of all, it's because you are weak. It's because I am weak. On the night before Jesus' death, as he was praying in the garden, he said to Peter this. He said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, what did Peter do after that? Well, he fell asleep and then ended up denying Jesus three times just a couple of hours later. Even though a few hours earlier, he had said, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Our spirits are willing, but so often when it comes to temptation, our flesh is weak. Praying, lead us not into temptation, is an acknowledgement of this weakness. It's an acknowledgement that left to our own devices and our own willpower, the likelihood is that we're going to enter into temptation and sin. And if you don't believe me, just have a look at your own life and how often you have given into temptations. You can't even say no to chocolate, let alone sin. Neither can I. Jesus is saying, pray and ask God to deliver you from these situations. Pray that he would help you in those moments to overcome the temptation and not give in to them. You know, in Romans 7, there's this war that seems to be going on in the Christian life. It says, I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Do you ever feel that in your own life? The things that you want to do, you end up not doing, and the things you want to stop, they're the things you keep doing time and time again. How does Paul end the chapter as he says that? He says, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? He's fed up. He's like, I can't do it. Who will rescue me? And his answer is, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. Praying this prayer every day, multiple times a day, is an acknowledgement of our weakness. If left to ourselves and our own willpower, we'll most likely enter into sin. And we need God and his power to deliver us from this, to deliver us from the evil one. And yet, so often I don't think we pray like this, do we? We often end with the verse before it in the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive me. And then the next day go and do the same things again. Why don't you go on the offensive in your Christian life, in your prayer life? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one is an offensive prayer. Not offensive, offensive prayer. It's saying, God, yesterday I gave into temptation and I sinned against you. Thank you that you forgive me, but today, this new day, help me to not let that happen again. Help me to not enter into temptation, but to live for you, to be delivered from the temptations when they come. Over the last couple of weeks, Charles, as he's been preaching up until now, has been saying that every line of the Lord's Prayer is really about the kingdom of God. And I think it's the same with this one as well. Every line is about the kingdom. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan and there's the kingdom of God. And this last bit of the prayer is saying, don't let me go back to that kingdom. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to live for you. Don't let me enter back into Satan's kingdom. This is why we should pray this prayer, because we're weak. And so often we'll fall back into sin without the help of God. But secondly, why should you pray this prayer every day? Well, it's because you can overcome temptation. Did you hear that? You can overcome temptation. Now, do you believe that for yourself? Do you believe in that area that you keep falling into sin, that you keep doing what you don't want to do? Do you actually believe that you could overcome that? You don't have to give into it. I think so often we think about temptation as like gravity that's just weighing you down and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to give into it, and then when it does, finally it'll go away. Well, that's not how it works. When you give into it, it just comes back again, and the next time it's even harder to say no. But you can overcome temptation. But not with your own willpower, not with your own strength. It's by coming to God and saying, deliver me. Don't lead me into this temptation. Don't ever let me get into a place that's too much for me. I love the promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You know that? All the different things that you struggle with. It's not just you. They're common to others as well. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Do you hear that? When temptation comes, God will never let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. You can overcome temptation. But he keeps going on. He says, how? So, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He will provide a way of escape in the midst of that temptation so you can say no. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like to provide a way of escape? Well, it could be the Holy Spirit in that moment prompting you to say, flee from sin. It could be a friend who calls you out on sin they see in your life. If you have someone that is willing to speak into your life and call out an area that they think you're sinning, that's a good friend. I think so often when we're challenged on things, particularly these days, we sort of run from those people. That's a good friend if they're willing to speak into your life. Be humble enough to hear them out. They might be wrong, but they might be right as well. Maybe it could be a moment of clarity as you see the depths of your sin and the grace of God. Maybe it's a phone call at just that right moment or a text message with someone saying, hey, I'm praying for you. It could be anything. But it's a beautiful promise. So pray and ask God for what he promises. And pray that when he provides a way out, that you take it. I think so often God provides a way out and we don't take it. We ignore it. I reckon the question really is, do we actually want God to deliver us from our sin? Or are we happy with that bit of sin in our life? Yep, there's some areas, yep, God, you can have those, but I'm going to keep this one. I quite like this sin. Often people, if you don't enjoy sin, you're probably not doing it right. Like sin in the moment can be pretty good. You heard that from the pastor. But do you actually want to overcome the sin in your life? The question really is, do you believe that God really can satisfy you in every area of your life? Do you actually believe that? Or are you believing the lie of Satan, which is he's not enough? He's actually just not enough for you. When you give in to temptation, have a think about it in your life. If you give in to that thing time and time again that you just wish you would stop, afterwards, is there joy? Is there joy in that moment, or is there just regret? You feel miserable, and now you've got Satan condemning you. How could you do that again? You mustn't love God. You keep doing this. And so not only is Satan the tempter, now he's the accuser of you as well. But Jesus is saying you do not have to give in to temptation to sin. You can have victory over it, not perfectly in this life, but you can see progress in your sanctification, in your walk in holiness, in your Christian life. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. You can resist temptation, and over time, the devil will flee from you. Okay, number three. Why should you pray this prayer every day? Well, you should pray it so that you will also take action in your life. Don't just pray it and then keep on going back into the same situations where you get tempted by and fall back into sin again. If you keep entering into the same temptations, you need to stop putting yourself in those situations in the first place. If you walk down a road every day and you fall into the same hole, there comes a point where you have to decide, I'm not going to walk down that road anymore. And it's the same with sin. If you keep entering into the same temptations time and time again, then do whatever you need to do to remove yourself from those temptations. If every time you go on the internet late at night, you're tempted to look at porn, well, put your phone in another room, turn it off, take the internet off your phone, do whatever it takes to flee from that temptation. Now, it might be annoying, it might be uncomfortable, even embarrassing, depending on what the situation is, but better those things than sinning against God. And so you should pray this every day, and that should lead you to take action. But number four, you should pray this for yourself, but you should also pray it for others. Do you notice it's plural? It's not lead me not into temptation, it's lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And so pray this prayer for other people. If you don't know what to pray for someone when they're going through a trial, pray this for them. Pray that as God takes them through a time of testing, that it caused the result would be a strengthening of their faith, not a giving into temptation. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to pray that for others and you're going to ask others to pray that for you, it involves being open and honest about where it is that you actually are tempted. In a few weeks' time, our community groups are going to be starting up. And one of the things we do in those is spend time in small groups praying. Now, maybe just for novelty, why don't this year decide, instead of just talking about how I'm tired or this uni assignment or I need a new job or my grandma's cat, why don't you actually pray and share with people about the struggles in your own life, the struggles of temptation. Why don't you ask others, where are they struggling and how can I be praying for you? Be open and honest about those things. It's so refreshing when people do that. I think groups that start the year like that flourish, and there's this deep intimacy in the groups where people can come and share their struggles. Do you know how many times someone's come to me at church and said, Matt, it feels like I'm the only person in this church that still sins? You ever feel like that? It's because everyone else just turns up, big smile on their faces, and pretends like they never attempted to sin anymore. But that's not the case. We're all tempted in lots of different ways. I remember being on a train a few years ago with another guy. He was a pastor at a church, actually. And as we were sitting on the train, this group of women walked past, and I saw his eyes sort of follow them down the middle of the train. And then he looked back, and he's like, oh, man, I hate that sometimes I still do that. And besides the fact that there's no man in the world who's not guilty of this, I just loved his honesty in that moment, that he could be willing to admit that. And it gave me permission as well to be able to admit my temptations, my weaknesses. And so be honest about your struggles. Find some people that you can do that with. In your community group, maybe some other people at church, and be willing to share those and ask people to pray for you and then pray for them as well. Okay, why should you pray this prayer every day? Well, number five, and this is the second last one, so we're nearly there. Number five, you should pray this prayer every day because the evil one, Satan, is more powerful than you and he knows how to tempt you. In 1 Peter 1:5, it says, Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, what is Satan's power? Well, it's to be able to tempt you. And he's really good at it. He knows for each of us what it is that will tempt us. But he can't make you sin. It's not the devil made me do it. James 1 verse 14 says this. It says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, have a think about this metaphor for a moment. It's actually pretty graphic when you think about it. What it's saying is it's your evil desires in each of us that make love to the temptation of Satan, which gives birth to a sin baby. Think about that next time you're tempted to sin. Your evil desire is having sex with the temptation and give birth to a sin baby. That's not a great visual, is it? The devil didn't make you sin, but he does know your weaknesses, and he will dangle them in front of you like a carrot to entice you and to lure you to enter into the temptation. And so we need to pray and ask God to deliver us from these temptations, to deliver us from the evil one. And lastly, God is more powerful than the evil one. And he has delivered you and he will deliver you each day. And so you should pray this prayer. In the fullest sense of this, God has already delivered us from the evil one. If your faith is in Christ, he has delivered you from the evil one. We all fall, we all fail, but there is one man who never did. There is one man who never gave in to temptation and sin. He passed the test on our behalf. When Jesus was tempted, he never gave in to sin. He never entered into it. And so in his life and his death and his resurrection, he has defeated Satan once and for all time. But the promise is that he will also deliver us from his power each day. And so we should pray this prayer. Often I think when we think about the gospel, we think of it as just the forgiveness of sins. But in a sense, really, that is just the beginning of the Christian life. We're called into God's family. He is our Father. We are his children. He provides all our needs. He forgives all our sins. But now, as his forgiven and justified children, he calls for us to live a new life, to live out this new life of obedience and holiness. And so we're not left on our own to do this. We don't have to do this in our own strength and willpower. We can't. But we are to pray as Jesus taught us and ask God to deliver us. So that's why we need to pray this prayer daily. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so there's the Lord's Prayer, line by line each week. Let me finish this series with an encouragement for us to pray. Now, I'm not sure what your prayer life looks like at the moment. What does your prayer life look like at the moment? For me, over summer, it hasn't been great. I think getting out of the routine with holidays has left my prayer life at a place that I'm not happy with. Having two young kids who don't like to sleep doesn't help as well. But what I've loved about this series is I've been using the Lord's Prayer every day to reignite my prayers, to use them line by line, to riff off them and to focus my prayers on what Jesus says is important to be praying about. Now, I think too often we just feel guilty about our prayer lives. Oh man, I just don't pray enough. Well, instead of that, why don't you reflect on the crazy privilege that it is to call God Father, that we can speak to the God of the universe and that he hears and he answers our prayers. So why not take the Lord's Prayer, this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and make it the basis for your prayer life? Because it's in praying that you will line up your prayers with God, with what God has already promised. It will be bringing your life into harmony with his will. And so pray through it line by line. Add extra bits as you can. But why don't you use the Lord's Prayer as the basis of your prayer life to start this new year. Commit to doing it every day and see what God does with your prayers as you do that. And so for the last time this series, let me invite all of us now one last time to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.